live from the Public Relations Department of the Royal Thai Government. This is Radio Thailand News.
Sadika. Today is Sunday, March 24th, 2024, and this is Radio Thailand's Midday News Hour with me. I'm Chowarat Yongjirunonchin. Making the national headlines this lunchtime. Prime Minister Setha Thawisin arrives at Pisanulok for a regional tour to evaluate the progress of water management projects within the region. Meanwhile, the Premier also unveils plans to transform Thailand into a regional hub for future mobility. Looking at the global scene, Russian officials arrest 11 people in connection with a shooting rampage that killed 143 people in a concert hall near Moscow. And on the business agenda, the Ministry of Industry expedites the processing of pending Rongaw 4 factory operation permits to promote investment in the industrial sector. We'll now take a look at those top headlines and many more in detail.
National News. Brought to you by Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline, now flies direct Bangkok to Phnom Penh daily.
Welcome to the Midday News Hour, now live streaming from our Facebook page, Radio Thailand FM 88. First up in national news, Prime Minister Setha Thawisin and his team arrived at Pisanulok Airport on Saturday for a regional tour to evaluate the progress of water management projects within the region. Upon arrival, the Premier was greeted by key local figures such as the Governor of Pisanulok, the 3rd Army Region's Deputy Commander, and the Provincial Police Commander. The visit aims to tackle Pisanulok's water management issues, a persistent concern aggravated by regular occurrences of floods and droughts. A significant part of Setha's agenda was the inspection of the Tha Nangam Water Gate, located in the Bangrakam district. The structure is distinguished by its creative solution to water management, incorporating arched steel sluice gates to prevent flooding and alleviate the impact of events such as El Nino. In addition to inspecting infrastructure, Prime Minister Setha engaged in discussions with both local authorities and residents regarding the Bangrakam model. The model, recognized for its systematic approach to managing water, seeks to replicate its effective strategies along the right bank of the Yom River and expand its influence to encompass an officially designated irrigation zone. The Prime Minister also paid a surprise visit to Bangrakam Police Station to check on police officers and inquire about the handling of drug situations in the area. In the meantime, Thailand is set to position itself as a leader in electric vehicle EV production, with Prime Minister Setha Thawisin unveiling plans to transform the nation into a regional hub for future mobility. The vision was shared at the opening of Delta Electronics Thailand Public Company Limited's newest factory and research center, dedicated to EVs, situated in the Bang Bu Industrial Estate in Samutprakan Province. Recognizing the company as a major player in Thailand's electronics manufacturing sector, Setha underscored the significance of the expansion, aimed at catering to the surging demand for EVs. The Prime Minister said the establishment of this facility is part of the country's efforts to enhance its EV and electronic component manufacturing capabilities. This resonates with the government's Ignite Thailand strategy, which focuses on promoting Thailand as a center for the digital economy and future mobility solutions. The initiative affirms the government's readiness to support businesses investing in this sector, promising a conducive environment for their success. The launch event was also attended by scores of dignitaries, including officials from the Board of Investment, the Thai Trade Representative, the Ministry of Industry, the Industrial Estate Authority of Thailand, and the Samutprakan Provincial Governor. In the meantime, the House of Representatives has approved Thailand's budget bill for the year 2024 fiscal year, totaling 3.48 trillion baht. The approval, After months of delay, comes more than 4 months into the fiscal year, with a new budget marking a 9.3% increase in spending compared to the previous year, and setting the deficit at 693 billion baht, slightly down from the year below. Following 3 years of intense debates among parliament meetings, or members rather, the vote concluded with 298 in favor, 166 opposed, one abstention, and one lawmaker absent. The budget bill now awaits the Senate's nod and royal assent, which is anticipated to occur next week, paving the way for the disbursement of funds to start in early April. The move is deemed critical for the government's plans to revitalize the economy, exacerbated by high household debt and interest rates. The budget's passage was stalled by political standstills following last year's election, delaying the originally planned disbursement date of October 1, 2020. The formation of the current government in August was a step towards resolving the impasse. On the other hand, Prime Minister Setha Tewisin has confirmed Thailand's readiness to host the 2026 annual meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, or IMF. The confirmation came following a meeting between the Prime Minister and Manuela V. Ferro, the Vice President of the World Bank for the East Asia and Pacific region. The Thai Premier said he was confident that Ferro's visit will pave the way for the meaningful collaboration between the two parties in the future, especially on the occasion of Thailand hosting the IMF and World Bank annual meetings in 2026. The event is expected to stimulate economic and tourism activities, reinforce confidence in Thailand's event organizing capabilities, and serve as a platform to showcase Thai art, culture, and cuisine to the world. The two parties also discussed key issues such as labor quality improvement, education, and water management strategies. The World Bank Vice President assured support for Thailand in knowledge sharing, expertise, and financial areas for investment projects that will benefit the public. Ferro also commended Thailand's policy execution aimed at attracting investments using sustainability approaches, as well as Thailand's neutral foreign policy amidst global conflicts. The Prime Minister emphasized that Thailand adheres to a principle of not being in conflict with any nation, noting that the kingdom is a global citizen that maintains neutrality among all political spectrums. And heading on to an event, the organizing committee for the celebration of the 72nd birthday anniversary of His Majesty the King Rama X on July 28th has outlined the scope of the celebratory events for the upcoming months. The event, under the chairmanship of Prime Minister Setha Tewisin, also defined the emblem of the royal or grand royal ceremony, including the creation of commemorative pins royally approved by His Majesty the King. Various committees and related agencies are commencing their assigned tasks to ensure that the celebratory events are conducted with dignity and honor. Now, activities planned throughout 2024 include sermon sessions, almsgiving, an oath-taking ceremony, offerings of royal regalia, and laying of flower trays, along with candle vigil ceremonies to give best wishes to His Majesty the King. The celebration also features royal volunteer activities for public benefit and charity, organized by government agencies, the private sector, and citizens to foster love, unity, and further present tributes to His Majesty the King. That wraps up the national headlines this midday. Next in global news, Vietnam's legislature appoints Vice President Vo Tinh An Xuân as acting head of state.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Our boutique blue lounges will energize you. Our comfy blue seating illustrates how we like to pamper our guests. Exquisite flavors are added to your onboard menus. Our staff wear blue uniforms that represent commitment to providing outstanding service, taking you to your destination in style. Let the color blue bring you ultimate happiness. Bangkok Airways Boutique Blue. Call 1771 or visit bangkokair.com. Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline.
Fly to a fairy tale with EVA Air, serving 3 flights weekly to Amsterdam. See the storybook homes of your Don, indulge in a sweet stroopwafel while standing in Dam Square, and then ride a bicycle by Amsterdam Central Station. The stone streets and storied canals of the capital of the Netherlands present magic around every corner. Experience it all with EVA Air, flying 3 times weekly, every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from Bangkok to Amsterdam. Book now at evaair.com. Take me there, EVA Air.
Get ready to immerse yourself in the vibrant celebrations of Songkran as Thailand sets the stage for the Maha Songkran World Water Festival 2024, happening from April 11th to 15th, right in the hearts of Bangkok. Prepare to be enchanted by over 20 magnificent parade floats, showcasing the beauty and uniqueness of Thai Songkran traditions. So mark your calendars and get ready to make a splash at the Maha Songkran World Water Festival.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Global News.
Brought to you by EVA Air. Sharing the world, flying together.
You're listening to the Midday News here on Radio Thailand. We broadcast live from FM 88 and online at nbt.prd.go.th. Let's take a look at the global issues this lunchtime. Russia said on Saturday that it had arrested 11 people, including 4 suspected gunmen, in connection with a shooting rampage that killed 143 people in a concert hall near Moscow, the deadliest attack in Russia for 20 years. Militant Islamist group Islamic State claimed responsibility for Friday's attack, but there were indications that Russia was pursuing a Ukrainian link, despite emphatic denials from the Ukrainian officials that Kiev had anything to do with it. The FSB security service said, quote, all 4 terrorists have been arrested while heading to the Ukrainian border and that they had contacts in Ukraine. It added that they were being transferred to Moscow. A senior Russian lawmaker, Andrea Kartapolov, said that if Ukraine was involved, then Russia must deliver a, quote, worthy, clear, and concrete reply on the battlefield. Ukrainian military intelligence spokesperson Andrei Yusov denied his country's involvement, saying, quote, Ukraine is defending its sovereignty from Russian invaders, liberating its own territory, and is fighting with the occupiers' army and military targets, not civilians. End quote. He also said the FSB version that the suspects were arrested en route to Ukraine was, quote, of course, another lie from the Russian special services. Now, Russian state TV editor Margarita Simonyan published a video of one of the suspects, a young bearded man, being interrogated by the side of a road. She said the death toll had climbed to 143, but did not give the source of her information. Russia's investigative committee earlier said at least 115 had died in the attack, in which camouflage-clad gunmen opened fire with automatic weapons at concertgoers in the Krakow's city hall near the capital. Vietnam's legislature has appointed Vice President Vo Tinh Anh Xuân as acting head of the state after President Vo Van Tung became the latest top official to fall amid an intensified corruption crackdown by the ruling Communist Party. The 53-year-old Tung was removed from the powerful Politburo for unspecified violations of party rules, becoming the second president to exit in just over a year in Vietnam, where leadership changes have recently all been linked to a wide-ranging, quote, blazing furnace anti-bribery campaign. Xuân, one of the only few women in senior positions in Vietnamese politics, steps in as president for the second time in just over a year. Online newspaper Vin Express reported that the Politburo has assigned Vo Tin An Suan as acting president until the National Assembly elects a new president, in accordance with Vietnam's constitution. The government also confirmed her appointment. Now, the president holds a largely ceremonial role, but is one of the top four political positions in the country. Suan filled the void in the 6 weeks after Nguyen Xuân Phúc stepped down as president last year for, quote, violations and wrongdoing by officials under his control. Chung was widely regarded as being close to aging Secretary General Nguyen Phu Trong, Vietnam's most powerful figure and architect of an anti-graft campaign that intensified recently. The party's Central Committee on Wednesday accepted Chung's resignation and removed him from the Politburo, its top decision-making body, and his position as head of the National Defense and Security Council. About 88% of lawmakers supported his removal as president in Thursday's vote. Friday's shock announcement from Britain's Princess Catherine of Wales, also known as Princess Kate, of her cancer diagnosis dominated the nation's newspaper front pages on Saturday. There were many messages of support, as well as criticism of those who had speculated about her health. The princess said on Friday that she was undergoing preventative chemotherapy after tests taken following a major abdominal surgery in January revealed the presence of cancer. The 42-year-old wife of heir to the throne, Prince William, called the cancer discovery a, quote, huge shock. The news comes as a fresh health blow to the British royal family, as King Charles is also undergoing treatment for cancer. All of Saturday's newspapers featured Princess Kate's news, accompanied by a photograph of the princess delivering her video message, which was filmed at Windsor on Wednesday. On Friday, messages of support poured in for the princess, including from King Charles, Prince Harry, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby, and U.S. President Joe Biden. Sunak said Kate had, quote, shown tremendous bravery for her statement, adding that she has been unfairly treated by certain sections of the media around the world and on social media. Kate's diagnosis was also big news internationally. King Charles, who took the throne in September 2022 following the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, underwent a corrective procedure for an enlarged prostate hospital as Princess Kate on January. Buckingham Palace then revealed in February that the 75-year-old king was to have treatment for cancer, meaning he has had to postpone his public royal duties. Well, in the meantime, the United Nations Security Council has turned down a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and an Israel-Hamas hostage deal after Russia and China vetoed the measure proposed by the United States. The resolution, on which Algeria also voted no and Guyana had also abstained, called for an immediate and sustained ceasefire lasting roughly 6 weeks that would protect civilians and allow for the delivery of humanitarian assistance. 11 of the 15 council members voted for the resolution, but the Russia-China veto stopped its passage. Russia's ambassador to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia, said the U.S.-led resolution was, quote, exceedingly politicized, and contained an effective green light for Israel to mount a military operation in Rafah, a city on the southern tip of the Gaza Strip where more than half of the enclave's 2.3 million residents have been sheltering in makeshift tents. China's UN ambassador Zhang Jun also criticized the text proposed by the U.S. for not clearly stating its opposition to a planned military operation by Israel in Rafah, which he said could lead to severe consequences. The council will meet again on Monday to vote on an alternative resolution drafted by the elected members of the Security Council. The vote was planned for Saturday, but was reportedly postponed because discussions were ongoing. That resolution demands an immediate ceasefire for the current Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the release of all hostages, and an expanded flow of humanitarian assistance to Gaza. The draft does not include provisions supporting ongoing diplomatic efforts to secure a ceasefire, an element of the U.S. resolution. Washington has been working with Qatar and Egypt to try to broker a deal. Well, let's take a look at news now in the Southeast Asian region. The UNHCR Refugee Committee, or agency rather, has said more than 70 Rohingya are presumed dead or missing after a boat they were on capsized off the coast of Indonesia's Aceh province, while 75 have been rescued. The UNHCR said in a joint statement with the International Organization for Migration that if the death toll was confirmed, it would be the biggest loss of life so far this year. The alert was raised on Wednesday when fishermen rescued six of the migrants. A fishing community in Aceh said they had been standing on the hull of the boat after it capsized due to high tides. For years, Rohingya have left Myanmar, where they were generally regarded as foreign interlopers from South Asia, denied citizenship, and subjected to abuse. UNHCR data showed that more than 2,300 Rohingya arrived in Indonesia last year, surpassing the number of arrivals in the previous 4 years combined. The UNHCR said in January that the 2023 toll of at least 569 Rohingya dead or missing while trying to flee Myanmar or Bangladesh was the highest since 2014. UNHCR Asia spokesperson Barbara Balok said on Friday that there had been 151 people on this latest boat, some 75 of whom have been evacuated by local authorities, while the rest were, quote, presumed dead or missing. Faisal Rahman, UNHCR's protection associate in Aceh, says the surviving Rohingya were in a good condition and were staying at a Red Cross building in West Aceh. Those were our global reports. Next in business. United Airlines says U.S. safety regulators will boost scrutiny of the airline following a series of recently safety incidents.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
EVA Air goes beyond flying to offering premier experiences. Premium economy and economy class passengers are invited to purchase an upgrade to a new, unparalleled and exquisitely crafted meal prepared in collaboration with celebrity chefs to deliver an unforgettable dining experience each season on EVA Air. Collaborations include with French master Chef Lambert Stéphane, who led Michelin-starred kitchens across Europe, Chef Si Wen Guang of Yu Ye Lo Restaurant, and famed pastry artist Makito Hiratsuka. Pre-order gourmet meals up to 21 days or 24 hours prior to departure to enjoy authentic French cuisine, splendid Cantonese classics, innovative desserts, and much more while flying in complete comfort. Be sent soaring with a Michelin star level meal on EVA Air. Take a journey full of smiles with EVA Air.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Business News.
In today's business reports, the Ministry of Industry is accelerating the processing of numerous pending Rongo 4 factory operation permits to facilitate investment in the industrial sector. Industry Minister Pimpatra Wichaikun instructed the Department of Industrial Works, or DIW, to resolve these applications within 30 days and provide a swift update on the progress to boost investment. Responding to grievances about or from the private sector regarding the protracted evaluation of investment permits, a meeting was convened with ministry officials and related entities to consolidate all outstanding permits A directive was set forth to devise a strategy for addressing these permit requests with a progress report due by March 26, highlighting the government's commitment to simplifying the investment process for compliant investors. Reports identified over 100 delayed cases attributed to factors such as incomplete applications or the need for information from other agencies. This include permits for operations like power plants or wood processing factories, while delaying or delayed, or which of these are often delayed by a cautious regulatory approach. The DIW has been tasked with reviewing and resolving these cases within the specified time frame. Investors with incomplete applications should be immediately notified of the deficiencies, while those with complete applications to see their permits expedited. Meanwhile, the Federation of Thai Industries has noted the significant impact on several sectors due to delays in securing operation permits for new ventures and expansions, with at least 200 cases pending. There is also a pressing call for rapid reviews to invigorate economic investment. Rongaw 4 permits are required for Type 3 factories operating machinery exceeding 75 horsepower and employing more than 75 workers. United Airlines has said U.S. safety regulators will boost scrutiny of the airline following a series of recent safety incidents. United's Corporate Safety Vice President Sasha Johnson said in a memo that over the next several weeks, employees will see more of a presence by the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, in the airline's operation. The Chicago-based airline has experienced several emergencies in the past 2 weeks. On March 15th, an external panel was found to be missing from a United aircraft when it landed in Oregon, prompting an FAA investigation. Before that incident, a United Airlines-operated Boeing 737 MAX rolled onto the grass in Houston. A United-operated Boeing 777-200 bound for Japan also lost a tire after takeoff from San Francisco and was diverted to Los Angeles, where it landed safely. On Tuesday, FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker said that the agency was going to look at United more closely. When asked for comment on United's memo, the FAA said, quote, on Friday that it routinely monitors all aspects of an airline's operation, including, quote, compliance with applicable regulations, ability to identify hazards, assess and mitigate risk, and effectively manage safety. Scrutiny on plane maker Boeing has also mounted since a January 5th Alaska Airlines mid-air emergency, with inquiries into safety and quality standards in its production process. When asked about additional attention many aviation incidents are drawing, Whitaker said some events getting coverage are not necessarily unusual, but the FAA investigates to ensure that there are or is no broader safety trend. Whitaker also said it is, quote, important to try to separate the signal from the noise, adding that the system works well because it has a lot of redundancy built into it, a lot of resistance, or resilience, rather. In the meantime, Chinese semiconductor-related companies pulled out all the stops at one of the country's largest chip sector fairs this week to pitch domestic buying, echoing Beijing's call to galvanize support for an industry facing growing geopolitical strains. The message was plastered across booths and marketing materials of a variety of companies, from chip equipment makers to material producers. These included Valtech Semiconductor, a Kunshan-based firm that makes photoresist coating equipment, and Shenzhen-listed Jingsheng, which manufactures machines used for processing silicone wafers. Over a dozen Chinese exhibitors at the annual Semicon China show in Shanghai said their products could be used as a replacement for foreign-made ones. And staff from foreign firms that were represented said that while there was still a gap in quality and efficacy, Chinese rivals were quickly catching up. Cameron Johnson, a Shanghai-based senior partner at consultancy Tidal Wave Solutions, who has attended Semicon since 2016, said, quote, "Buying local and getting supply chains out of U.S. control was a clear focus of many at the show." The three-day show provided a glimpse into the mood of the Chinese semiconductor industry, which has been built, or hit rather, with multiple export curbs from the United States and its allies. Washington says it does not want to see advanced chips and related technology end up in the hands of the Chinese military. Such pressure has spurred calls from Beijing to its domestic chip industry to catch up faster with foreign countries and to become more self-reliant. China has poured billions of dollars into the effort, but analysts say the complexities and globally interconnected nature of the chip supply chain has meant that a big gap still exists. Few U.S. firms turned up at the event that attracted 1,100 exhibitors and large crowds of visitors, though there were several Japanese, South Korean, and Taiwanese companies. Big Chinese names, such as the country's largest foundry, SMIC, were also absent. In the meantime, the Thailand Convention and Exhibition Bureau, TCEP, is championing the promotion of Thai festivals on an international level, in line with the national strategy to leverage cultural capital in order to help stimulate the economy. This initiative aims to transform festivals into platforms for creating business opportunities and attracting international visitors with significant spending power. TCEP President Jirut Isarangun Ayutthaya announced TCEP's commitment to turning Thailand's festivals into a pivotal force for economic expansion, positioning Thailand as a leading festival hub. This approach is in line with the national strategic objective of utilizing cultural heritage to enhance economic vitality. For this endeavor, TCEP has collaborated with four associations comprising the Thailand International Events and Festivals Trade Association, the Thai Mass Participation Sports Trade Association, the Thailand Entertainment Creators Network Association, and the Contemporary Art and Culture Industry Promotion Trade Association. The strategy includes three primary pillars to establish a, quote, constructive ecosystem for festival organization, focusing on boosting the nation's profile through event bids, integrating business events into festival planning, adding value to Thailand's unique content, and upgrading workforce skills for international competitiveness. Moreover, TCEP aims to support an additional 30 festivals targeting 2.3 million attendees, both Thai and international. These events are anticipated to contribute at least 3.6 billion baht in economic impact and add over 5.8 billion baht to Thailand's GDP. And lastly, on the business issues here, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, has told passengers who were on an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 that suffered a January 5th mid-air emergency that they may be victims of a crime. The letters, a procedural step in some criminal investigations by the Justice Department, are a sign that its probe into the MAX 9 emergency is moving forward. The letters dated Tuesday said the FBI has identified the passengers, quote, as a possible victim of a crime, adding that, quote, this case is currently under investigation by the FBI. The letters were earlier reported by the Seattle Times. An FBI spokesperson in Seattle declined to comment, citing Justice Department's policy that it, quote, does not confirm or deny the existence of an investigation. The Justice Department in 2022 updated its guidelines for notifying victims of potential crimes. The move came after relatives of some of the 346 people killed in two Boeing 737 MAX 8 crashes in 2018 and 2019, said their legal rights had been violated when the department struck a January 2021 deferred prosecution deal with Boeing without notifying them. The department also apologized for not meeting with relatives of the crash victims before the announcement of the deal, which capped a 21-month investigation into the design and development of the 737 MAX 8. Alaska Airlines said it was fully cooperating with the investigation and does not believe it is the target of the probe. In the mid-air emergency, a door plug panel tore off the side of the MAX 9 jet at over 4,800 meters, leaving a refrigerator-sized rectangular hole in the aircraft. The plane landed safely with all 171 passengers and 6 crew on board, though 7 passengers and 1 flight attendant had minor injuries. And those were our business news stories this afternoon. Next, we have more Radio Thailand news.
This is Radio Thailand News.
Like the FM 88 Radio Thailand English Service and Radio Thailand World Service Facebook pages. Publicly like our reward posts. Share hashtag RTH World Service, hashtag FM 88, and hashtag Radio Thailand. And comment on why you love listening to FM 88. Or follow at Radio Thailand World on TikTok. Repost our pinned post and write a comment on why you love the Radio Thailand World TikTok. Chosen users win a prize. Join in while they last.
Via mechanisms such as the Disaster Emergency Logistics System for ASEAN, Thailand is contributing to the flow of necessities, including information and communication in ASEAN. Thailand supports the exchange of accurate and up-to-date information between ASEAN nations as well as between their peoples, with the assurance that efficient communication will lead to a stronger ASEAN.
Responding to crisis from the local to national level is the Joint Information Center, or JIC, coordinating needed information between agencies so they may act in concert to address public disasters. The center is a critical part of Thailand's ability to safeguard its citizens, ensuring help is provided when and where needed. The JIC is keeping everyone in Thailand safe.
Welcome to Uniquely Thailand, a program that brings you a great history, a wonderful culture, and one-of-a-kind performances from our beautiful nation. From the majestic five-star hotels in the capital to simple mountainous resorts in the north, from the stunning plains and hills of the Golden Triangle to the white sand beaches in the south, Thailand has so much to offer that one visit is never enough. Dance in Thailand, or Ram Thai, is one of the country's most highly regarded art forms, taking on many forms with distinct regional variations and styles. The classical dance form is considered high arts, whereas the folk dance, although enjoying great popularity, does not enjoy the same degree of reverence and prestige. Over the centuries, the classical dance form has evolved into refined and elegant performance arts, the influence of which on neighboring countries such as Laos, Myanmar, and Cambodia have been profound. The dance was a very popular form of entertainment, particularly in the royal courts, in the 19th and 20th centuries. And despite the impact of Western culture generally, it has survived and continues to thrive, admired by locals and foreigners alike. When this kind of art form was first established is unknown, but references to koan date back to 1529. The first mention of koan by European observers was during the Ayutthaya period in the 17th century, and its influence on the dance traditions of its neighbors was noticed by James Lowe, an officer in the East India Company Army base in Penang, who commented that the Siamese have attained to a considerable degree of perfection in dramatic exhibitions, and are in this respect envied by their neighbors of Burmans, Laos, and Cambodians, who all employ Siamese actors when they can be got. Koan, the most artistical styles of Thai dance forms, is performed entirely by male performers wearing masks, though there does exist a variation called Koan Puying, which features an all-female cast of dancers, both of which were by tradition performed by the royal courts. Their musical accompaniment was provided by a classical ensemble called a bipat, composed of wind and percussion instruments. The repertoire of Koan performances is mainly taken from the Ramakien, the glory of Rama, Thailand's national epic, which derives ultimately from the Hindu Ramayana. Nowadays, the principal characters in the drama are played by both men and women, with only the ogres and monkey characters wearing masks. Another style of classical dance is lakon, or drama, which has a larger repertoire than koan and has a number of related but distinct styles. Lakon Chatri from central Thailand is closely related to Manora or Nora of southern Thailand, a dance form also performed in the northern states of Malaysia. It is delivered in an animated style of movements by a female cast to a spirited musical accompaniment, often incorporating a ribald, suggestive sense of humor. Other styles include Lakon Nai, most likely taken from Lakon Nang Nai, or Theater of the Palace Ladies. But there is also an all-male group of performers known as Lakon Nai Puchai. Lakon Nok is believed to have originated during the Ayutthaya period, and although based on folk styles, is similar to Lakon Chatri in most respects. Fon, a form of folk dance that originated in the north of Thailand, performed to the sound of traditional folk music of the region. Other styles have developed from the original form and are often specific to a town. Fon Lep, the fingernail dance, hails from Chiang Mai province, while Fon Niao is a Chiang Rai style. In Fon Lep, the performers wear 6-inch long artificial brass fingernails, and in Fon Niao, scarves are used, and although similar in style to Fon Lep, it is faster paced. In the Fon Tian, which always takes place at night, performers hold candles. There are a great many different and very popular folk dance styles throughout Thailand, defined by the regional origins. In central Thailand, one particularly intriguing dance originates from Krabi Krabong, literally sword and stick, a traditional martial art based on sword combat using long and short sticks. Before competition begins, ritual dances are enacted as a traditional display of respect. The Wai Kru Ram Muay, or the prelude to a Thai boxing match, is a ritual dance performed before a Muay Thai boxing bouts. To honor one's teacher is an act practiced throughout Thailand in any performance-related art form. And in Muay Thai, each fighter moves about the ring paying homage to his teacher and to the deities that patronize this fighting style. The roots of this practice are said to lie in animistic beliefs and the influence of Brahmanism brought from India. Dance is deeply embedded in Thai culture,
a greatly revered art form, and it shares folk tradition used to celebrate, honor, and revered in so many traditions and rituals that take place in Thai society. It has a fascinating history, and a tradition that extends back to an ancestral past, which has reached its present forms through constant evolution and adaptation to foreign influences, and in turn has had a profound influence on the cultures of its neighbors, who all, at one time or another, fell under its beguiling spell. There have always been two cultures in Thailand, palace and village. Likhe is the village form of Nakhon, played out against gaudy backdrops to an audience that walks in and out of the performance at will, eating and talking, regardless of what happens on stage. Likhe has lost some of its audience in recent years, but it still remains a vital art form in some parts of Thailand. It is usually staged by troops of performers who travel from village to village. The performances could be excerpts from the Ramakien, but they are more likely to be stories incorporating elements of melodrama, slapstick comedy, sexual innuendo, and the occasional stab at Thai politics and society. Traditional Thai shadow puppet theater still exists mainly in the south of Thailand. The Nang Talung form is what visitors will most likely encounter in places like Nakhon Si Thammarat province. Originating from Malaysia and Indonesia, Nang Talung recounts excerpts from the Ramakien. Puppeteers manipulate figures made from Nang or dried buffalo hide against a translucent screen, which is backlit by torches, to relate complex tales of good and evil. A rarer version of the shadow puppets play in South Thailand, known as Nang Yai, uses life-size puppets, but is seldom practiced due to the lack of expertise. To the uninitiated, classical Thai music sounds like a jarring and ear-piercing mishmash of contrasting tones without any fixed pattern. The key is to listen to it as one might listen to jazz, picking out one instrument and following it, switching to another as the mood moves you. The music is set to a scale of 7 full steps, with a lilting and steady rhythm. Each instrument plays the same melody, but in its own way and seemingly without regard to how others are playing it. Seldom does an instrument rise in solo. It is always challenged and cajoled by the other constituent parts of the orchestra. A classical bipat orchestra is made up of a single reed instrument, the oboe-like B9, and a variety of percussion instruments. The pitch favors the treble, with the pace set by the qing, a tiny cymbal, aided by the drums beaten with the fingers. The melody is played by two types of ranat egg, a bamboo bar xylophone, and two sets of klong wong, which are tuned gongs arranged in a semicircle around the player. Another type of bipat orchestra employs two violins, the sa'u and the sa'duang, which usually accompany a Thai dance drama. A variation of the bipat orchestra performs at a Thai boxing match to spur the combatants to action. Apart from the vibrant Thai pop scene, full of plastic-looking Western stars singing bubblegum tunes, there are several genres of popular music worth mentioning. Love songs and colloquial storytelling are at the hearts of Ma Lam music in Thailand, which is played on the kan instrument, a type of mouth organ. Ma Lam music comes from Laos and Northeast Thailand, and is based on traditional poetry, which emphasizes local folklore, struggle, and political sentiments. The tempo is rapid and accompanied by staccato vocals. Modern versions of Ma Lam use electronic instruments and are more structured, often blending with other traditional forms of music. Purists have criticized the shift, but the offshoot has its own circle of fans. Luktung, literally child of the fields, is Thai country music, peppered with tales of hardship, poverty, and despair. It is very popular with working-class Thais. Vocals are usually drenched with vibrato and feature slow, steady tempos, and the use of electric guitars, keyboards, and drums. The genre of music is so in demand, it has spawned several magazines and TV programs, its own dedicated radio station, and even a few films. Playing Pue Shivit, or Songs for Life in Thai, are protest songs that originated in the 1970s and became the voice of student movements in Thailand. Uniquely Thailand will return next time with more great stories, unforgettable cultural events, and memorable activities that can be found only in our beloved kingdom, the Land of Smiles. Thank you for joining us today. Sawadee krap.
Radio Thailand News.
Thailand Magazine.
The crowd roars as the humble beasts of burden enter their stalls, waiting for the signal. The referee starts the countdown. 3, 2, 1, and they're off. Every year, people from across the world flock to Chonburi to catch a true Asian sport, buffalo racing. Like a stampede, these buffaloes stomp down the racetrack, kicking up dust as their jockeys grip the harness for dear life. No saddles, no shoes. And these aren't your usual emaciated cows you pass on the road. Prizes for the first nose past the finish line have drawn the best breeders and racing buffalo in the country. They may be a bit slower than thoroughbred horses, but the buffaloes are no slouches when it comes to making a short dash for glory. The annual buffalo race is held around the 11th lunar month, which normally falls in October. It's a series of sprints across an open field in front of Chonburi City Municipality Office, where the entire town puts on a festival. Food and handicraft stalls are set up around the racetrack for spectators to grab a quick bite between races. There are also rides for children, folk concerts, and a beauty contest where the winner is crowned Miss Buffalo. If you want to know more, go to worldwideweb.tourismthailand.org and we'll see you at the finish line.
Indicating the sincerity and transparency of peace and development efforts in the southern border provinces, Thailand regularly welcomes international bodies and groups who wish to observe and evaluate work being done to resolve disunity and strife in the southernmost region of the nation. Ahead of 2024, a European Union or EU diplomatic delegation visited the Fourth Army with the objective of forming insights into the context of Thailand's south, as well as to propose strategies for addressing concerns involving the southern border provinces of Thailand. The team consisted of 13 officials representing 11 EU countries and was led by the head of the political press and information section at the EU delegation to Thailand from the European External Action Service. During their tour of the region, the delegation sought to understand the dynamics of the southern border areas, while at the same time intensifying collaboration with local agencies and discussing political freedom and human rights. Another aim of the visit was to review Thailand's policies on bettering the south, in particular, the efforts of the Internal Security Operations Command, or ISOC, Region 4. Aiding in the achievement of these goals, the 4th Army and ISOP Region 4 shared updates on the improving situation and outlined their programs and practices. Highlighted by the two bodies was increased public participation in the problem solving and their dedication to human rights and freedom. ISOC especially detailed how it integrates work from various sectors, including security apparatus, administrative officials, local leaders, and the public, to address security concerns while improving the quality of life for residents. It was made clear to the visiting delegation that all involved in the Southern peace and development effort focus mainly on ensuring safety and normalcy for the people, respecting the region's cultural diversity. The observational expedition was the first of its kind in over a decade and was carried out expressing to showcase a keen interest by the EU in the evolving situation of Thailand's southern border provinces.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Sawadee, Thailand. This is Sawadee, Thailand. Arts and crafts are an important aspect of Thai culture and have become a major contributor to the country's soft power. Thai arts and crafts, including pottery, textiles, and wood carving, are renowned for their beauty and intricate designs, and they have gained a significant following both domestically and internationally. One of the defining characteristics of Thai arts and crafts is their intricate designs and attention to detail. Thai artisans are known for their skilled craftsmanship, and they incorporate traditional designs and motifs into their work in unique and innovative ways. This has helped to establish Thai arts and crafts as a distinctive and highly sought-after form of cultural expression. Another important aspect of Thai arts and crafts is the use of traditional materials, such as wood, clay, and silk. Thai artisans are highly skilled in the use of these materials, and they create products that are both beautiful and functional. This has helped to promote Thailand as a hub of traditional arts and crafts, and it has contributed to the country's reputation as a destination for arts and crafts enthusiasts. In recent years, Thai arts and crafts have gained a significant following both internationally and domestically. Thai artisans have been featured in many international arts and crafts exhibitions, and their products are sold in high-end boutiques and department stores around the world. And from their intricate designs and attention to details to their use of traditional materials and reputation as a hub of creative and innovative arts and crafts, Thai arts and crafts offer a wealth of experiences and opportunities for those who are interested in this fascinating and vibrant aspect of Thai culture. Sawadee, Thailand will return next time with exciting information about other places and events in our lovely kingdom that you might want to check out or even talk to friends about. And don't forget to keep that travel spirits of yours going. Until then, Sawadee Krap.
A fundamental asset of Thailand's rich tourism landscape is its local identities. Dynamic, attractive, and amazingly varied, every local community in Thailand offers a different and enriching experience for travelers, both within the nation and from anywhere in the world. From the fabric weavers of the north to the fishing villages of the south, travelers to Thailand will find an array of local identities.
That wraps up the Midday News Hour for Sunday, March 24th, 2024. Our next News Hour is at 7 p.m. tonight, but you can catch Radio Thailand's hourly news for updates throughout the day.